There were religious groups that tried to change the natives. There were white people who tried to change the natives. Now you say, well, why are you doing this? Because we're dealing with a race of people who've never really had the good hearing. They were given stuff to pacify them. But no one dealt with the heart issues, and that's what God wants to do now. There are things going on with black people. Now look at me, please. Do we realize there was a time in America when black people were not considered human? Am I okay? You can throw the stones, but I want to get some things out today. There were times when Jewish people were considered infidels and hated by the church, especially one man in general who became the leader of a big denomination because he looked at every Jew as a Christ killer. Can I tell you something? Everybody sitting here is a Christ killer. You say, what are you talking about? He had to die for all of us. We okay? And so there are things that happen in this world that causes offenses, and if we don't know how to deal with them, they're going to rule our lives. And very often, whether it's your family or somebody at work or some relationship or somebody that just simply don't like you, there are things we face as believers that we have to deal with. Jesus looked at it in this way. He says, it's impossible that offenses won't come, but then he puts a P.S. on it and says, woe to those who bring the offense. How would you have liked to have been speaking English all your life and then somebody told you you had to speak French and you couldn't use English or otherwise they beat you? That happened to our Lakotas and Dakotas. And sometimes we say, well, you know, that was years ago, but you know something? Offense can be handed down. And so we face a situation as believers not to take the bait. If anyone had the right to be offended, it was Jesus Christ. If anyone could look at their life, living a perfect life, walking in the Holy Spirit, helping people, and yet having the religious ones constantly attack him and attack him and attack him and eventually plan his death and talk one of his disciples into betraying him, it was Christ. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you would have liked to have spent your 3.5 years of ministry working with someone you knew who would betray you and another one who would deny you? It gets very interesting. Is this too heavy? Are we okay?
You're okay.
Thanks, Joe. I just want to share a verse with you. Matthew 24, verse numbers 9 and 10 and 11 and 12. In verse number 8, it says, these are the beginning of sorrows, all the wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences. What are you laughing at? He's back there. He's getting carpal tunnel from turning the pages. Well, I was going to start with verse 1, but I tried to save you. All these are beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Anybody see any of that happening? I believe right now in the world we're probably seeing as much martyrdom for Christ as we've ever seen. And then many, say many, will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Offense brings betrayal and hatred. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold or grow cold. You know, there's one thing we need to understand, that taking offense or putting your hand in the bait of that trap, let me read you what that actually says in the Greek. I got this right out of my Greek book. Offense, scandalon, which is a trigger for a trap on which bait is placed, and when touched springs, causing it to close, causing entrapment. Scandalon always means enticement to conduct that would ruin the person in question. There's a thing I want to go over so I don't forget. Don't miss this. How many have close friends? How many have people you love? How many, when somebody does something to them, what do? You want to kill them. That's not your offense. Don't take somebody else's offense. That's not yours, and it will destroy you. We okay? Don't allow what happens to someone else make you hate that person and betray the person that did it. Back away and be in prayer, but don't let that offense grip you, because that's not yours. It'll eat you up. What we need to do as believers, when things go wrong, when people betray us, when people say things about us. And I was sitting up here the other morning and I wrote something down and I got back to the table. It's a miracle, say miracle, to be able to walk through the slander and the lies and the offenses that people want to put on you without taking them, defending yourself, or hating them. Becomes a miracle. It's a power of God coming upon us that allows us to walk in this world without getting hurt, without getting beat up, without taking offense. And we come to a place, well, because of Jesus Christ, I can walk this out. Otherwise, there are very few people around who aren't saved that you're ministering to that won't offend you to the place that you'll quit ministering. You ever been rejected? You ever anybody say anything against you falsely? And so we come to a place where no matter what is going on, we keep our eyes focused on Christ. And we need to be a little bit like Stephan and say, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. And we walk in a spirit of forgiveness. We have forgiven people what they've done to us before they've done it. It's not coming to a place and making up my mind, I need to forgive that person. It's coming to a place of saying, I forgave that person when Christ became my Lord and my Master, and I can walk and live as He did because I have the same Holy Spirit that He has. And you know something? It's not always easy to be human. It's not always easy to see how other people treat things, and we're called to be different. You are called by God to be able to go through the hardship and the offenses and the slanders and the lies and even the death. And go through it all victorious. You say, what are you talking about? This some weird gospel? No. It's a gospel of love. Let me ask you something. What did you ever get out of revenge? What do we ever get of doing to others what they do to us? How do we ever receive that? The Bible says, if your enemy hungers, kill him. Starve him. No, it doesn't. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you're going to pour coals of fire on his head. In other words, you're going to make him come to a place where he's looking at what he's doing to you. If somebody does something to us, and I desire and I'm going to take revenge, God is saying, I'm leaving that in your hands. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to help you. Because you know something? God loves that one who slandered us or hurt us or accused us or did things to us as much as he loves us. Okay, look at me. I don't want you to miss this. It's time that the body of Christ gets tough. You say, I'm not talking mean, I'm talking tough. It's time when we can walk through the arrows of hell, the arrows of the devil, hold up our shield and say, praise God, there's hope for that person. There's life coming. There's victory coming. The power of Jesus is going to set them free. What they said about me is okay. Because you know your heart. And when it comes, we just take it to the Lord and we leave it with them without ever. And you say, well, maybe I'll think about it. Well, think about it. And then a second later, let it go. Without ever coming to a place of revenge. It's tough. But God has called you to a higher level. He's called you to a higher level. And I'm not buying into the fact that every higher level I go to another devil. There's one. He does a good enough job. I don't need a new one. Get above it. Get above it. Doesn't matter what, get above it. He's lifted us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your location. Your body is here. Your spirit is there. You're above all the slanders and the lies and the deceptions of the devil. You're a child of God, and God didn't make you a weakling. It's true. Doesn't mean we love less. It means we love more. It doesn't mean we're not full of mercy and compassion. We're full. We're overflowing. The Bible said Moses was the meekest man on the earth, but I'm not sure I'm wanting to follow him. But there's a place. I remember years ago, a guy came to my house one night. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I'm filing a lawsuit against a group of people. And he said, I'd like you to come with me and join it. Because I know what happened to you. And before I could open my mouth, the Holy Spirit said, don't you do it. And so I looked at this gentleman and I said, I can't do it. I won't do it. And he said, looked at me and he said, I knew you wouldn't, but I had to find out for sure. Do you ever feel like you've been set up? You'll go through tests. You'll go through times. You will go through times that you don't know what to do, and there's two things to do. One is from God and one is from the flesh. Choose God. Do you realize the trials you go through isn't so that God can find out what's in you? It's so that you can find out what's in you. The hard times and the pains and the aches and the rejection and the things going on, we need to know within us who we are in Christ and who Christ is with us. We will go through some hard times. Is what you profess really what you are? And we'll walk through this avenue with God leading us, walking in victory over every situation. That can be hard. But yet it is hard. There's so much peace, and there's so much joy, and there's so much righteousness that God has poured out upon us to live and to walk. How do I break an offense? First thing you do is you repent for taking it. The second thing you do is absolutely come to God and say, God, I'm willing to forgive, but I need your help. I was preaching at another church. A young gal came to me, and I've said that, told this here before, but it fits what I'm talking about. And I was preaching on forgiveness, and a young gal walked up to me and said, Pastor, my boyfriend stabbed me in the belly and killed my baby. Do I have to forgive him? And I said, yes, honey, you need to forgive him, but you don't need to go back to him. There are people who are out to destroy you, forgive them. There are people who don't love you, love them anyway. There are people who want to do whatever they can to make your life miserable, love them, but you don't have to be best friends with them. As you love them and pray for them, let God put things in order. And He will. God cares about you so much. He doesn't want any place in you for the devil. Fact is, the Bible says, be angry and sin not and give no place to the devil. Don't do anything that's of Satan, and don't let any thought that's of Satan reign in your mind. Let it go. And there's freedom. There's freedom. We okay? Well, write me a letter, send it to the Black Hills. Any place in the back Black Hills, and we'll deal with it. You know, I'm not trying to preach on subjects that make you uncomfortable. I'm trying to preach on things that build Christ's character and Christ's life in us. And sometimes when I'm preaching this, I get uncomfortable. And that's okay. You know, I didn't get up this morning singing, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up this morning because how can it be a great day if you have to start by getting up? Right, Kirk? And so I'm not looking to have you come in here and say, well, what's he going to tell me? Is he going to beat me up? No. I'm preaching what I'm preaching because I love you, and I know there are attacks out there, and I know Satan wants to get you trapped. And once he gets that hook in us, he reels us in. And you know something? The offense becomes worse and worse and worse, and the entrapment and the enticement for conduct that doesn't become Christ is right before our eyes. we have to make a choice.